This time of year, life gets pretty hectic. Top of the regular year-end busyness at work and school, we have the ultimate craziness of what the secular world calls the holiday season. Everyone running around shopping or decorating or planning trips or visiting friends and family. There's an awful lot going on, but in the midst of the craziness, there is a certain joy. Because most of what's going on goes on in an atmosphere of great expectation. But we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we're expecting? In our gospel today, when Jesus speaks to the crowd about St. John the Baptist, he asks a question, the same question really three times. He says, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Why did you go out? To see a prophet?" Three times he asked them, "Why did you go out? What did you go out to see?" Sometimes we go out expecting prophets, and sometimes we go out just to be entertained. For example, about 19 years ago, I went to Rome with one of my priest friends, and we went to visit another priest friend who was studying in Rome. At that time, I'd already been to Rome several times, and I always enjoyed it, but this time we had some very special things that we had planned that we'd never done before. In particular, most importantly, months before, we had made arrangements so that we could celebrate Mass in the crypt of St. Peter's Basilica at the tomb of St. Peter himself. You know, there under the main altar, right underneath the main altar in the basement, if you will, the crypt, is where St. Peter is buried underneath an altar. And it's very difficult to get that reservation. You have to do it, let's say, months in advance, but we did it. So everything was going great on the vacation, and then the night before, we were supposed to say Mass at the tomb. We got a call from the Vatican telling us that a cardinal wanted to say Mass that morning. And if you know how things work in the church, cardinals always outrank priests, and so we didn't get to say Mass in the tomb as we'd been planning. Now, this was a great disappointment, and it sort of put a damper on the rest of the trip until the very last night of the trip. Right before the day before we were supposed to leave, we got a phone call. Apparently, my Roman friend had made a request that he hadn't told us about because he thought it was just a very remote, impossible chance. But the phone call from the Vatican this time told us that the impossible had happened. And at 7 a.m. the next morning, we found ourselves among a very small group of people in the private chapel in the papal apartments, celebrating Mass with Pope John Paul II. It's amazing. We walked in before Mass, and there was the great man kneeling there before the Blessed Sacrament and absolutely consumed by prayer. And then when I took my place, he was just, I could have reached out and touched him. I didn't. And then we concelebrated Mass, and he concelebrated so reverently, and this was just one long prayer. It was beautiful. And then afterwards, we got to meet him and speak to him very briefly for a few moments. It was truly one of the greatest mornings in my whole life. And it was absolutely, completely unexpected. I'd come to Rome with a very high expectation of this one thing of saying Mass on St. Peter's altar, but then found that God had something even greater planned for me. Jesus asked, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed in the wind? Someone dressed in fine clothing? A prophet?" Well, John Paul was no reed swaying in the wind. He didn't move with the changing winds of what's popular, but consistently proclaimed the truth of Jesus Christ. And he certainly wasn't attractive outwardly. By the time I met him, his once very strong and vigorous body and his bold voice had been severely affected by the ravages of Parkinson's disease. Even so, his mere presence radiated the faith, hope, and love of Jesus Christ like no other person I've ever met. We go out looking for one thing, and God gives us something so much more amazing if we let him. Something similar happened, although much more spectacular, happened to a poor indigenous Mexican named Juan Diego in the year 1531. One day he was on his way to catechism class, taking a shortcut across a small hill called Tepeyac, just outside of Mexico City, when suddenly he came upon a magnificently beautiful young woman, a pregnant young woman, whose face and clothes, he said, shone like the sun. And then an even more unexpected thing happened to him. The young woman said to him, "I am the ever-Virgin Holy Mary, Mother of the True God." A few days later, on December 12th, Juan Diego went to the Bishop of Mexico City with his cape, we call it tilma, filled with roses that the Blessed Mother had given him, even though it was a cold December and no roses would be growing, were growing. But she gave them as a small miracle to bring to the bishop, as a miracle to prove that she was appearing. But when Bishop Zumárraga came out expecting to see a humble peasant with a bunch of roses, instead, as the cape unfolded, the roses fell to the ground, and on the tilma, the bishop saw this picture of Mary miraculously appear. An image that would help lead to the almost overnight conversion of millions of indigenous Mexicans, and the first of hundreds of millions more in the New World converted to faith in Jesus Christ. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Someone dressed in fine clothing? A prophet? Today, millions of people still flock to Tepeyac to see the miraculous image of Our Lady Guadalupe. Some go out expecting kind of a prophetic spiritual encounter. Some go out not knowing what to expect. But many simply go out to see an interesting part of Mexican folklore, to be entertained. It wasn't all that different 2,000 years ago when John the Baptist was all the rage. And people asked, and Jesus asked, "Why did you go out? To see a prophet?" Now back then, lots of people that he said that to would have answered yes to see a prophet, or at least someone who says he's a prophet. Because there were lots of people then claiming to be prophets. Most were false prophets, but even those could be entertaining. And if you didn't have cable TV, which they didn't have back then, and you couldn't browse the internet, this was interesting. Let's go out and see this guy, what he's talking about. And so many people went out to see the prophet, the so-called prophet, out of curiosity, or even simply to be entertained. Others went out probably to show their faces, just to be there, to say that, you know, they had been around this holy man. "Oh, did you go to see John the Baptist? I was baptized by him." But others also went out with sincere hearts, hoping to hear some wisdom from a holy man that they hoped was a true prophet. So you can imagine the happiness for some and the shock for others who went out with even the slightest openness to the truth as they encountered no mere entertainer and no ordinary prophet, but the prophet of whom Jesus himself would say he is more than a prophet. Among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. But how sad for these poor people who went out just to be entertained. But how wonderful for those people who went out not knowing what to expect, but with an open heart, and found the greatest prophet proclaiming the arrival of the Messiah. For many of us, Advent and Christmas is a time when we go out expecting to find all the wrong things, or maybe with expectations a lot lower than they should be. Sometimes we approach Advent looking for the glitter, the lights, and the fun, the gifts, the presents. Sometimes we go a little deeper looking for the warmth and love of families and friends. But what if we went out with hearts open to encounter something even more amazing, more satisfying than the passing pleasures of the season, more awesome even than the most wonderful human affection? What if we went out into Advent to be entertained and instead encountered a prophet? What if we went out to see a prophet and instead have found the greatest prophet announcing news of great joy? What if we went out to see the great prophet of joy and found instead the perfect and boundless joy of God Himself, wrapped in swaddling clothes and in the skin of a newborn baby and resting in the arms of His beautiful young mother? Advent is a time to reevaluate our expectations of joy. To ask ourselves, do I approach this season and really the rest of the year as well, expecting to find only joy in the external and passing pleasures of the world or in merely human affection? Do I find my joy in Jesus Christ? Do I find my joy in expectation of the day which we read about in today's first reading from Isaiah, when he says, "The Lord will return and we will enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy, when we will meet with joy and gladness and sorrow and mourning will flee. Sometimes we go out not knowing that we're going to see a prophet. We haven't a clue what gift God has in mind for us. When I went to Rome 19 years ago, I was looking forward to the excitement of visiting the eternal city, but I find the unexpected joy of seeing the gospel shine through the face of St. John Paul II. Juan Diego went out expecting to learn his catechism, and Bishop Zumárraga went out expecting to see a peasant, but instead both found the unexpected joy of finding the Mother of God. If we live our lives with low expectations of ourselves and of God's generosity, we may never know the wonderful gifts that God expects to give to us. And if we settle for the temporary joy we encounter in the external trappings of the Advent and Christmas seasons, we will miss the life-changing and eternal joy that come from meeting Jesus Himself. Today, Gaudete Sunday, or Rejoice Sunday, the voices of St. John the Baptist, St. John Paul II, San Juan Diego, Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the whole church join the voice of God Himself in calling us to rejoice in the joy that Jesus alone can give us. The joy that completely fulfills and infinitely exceeds all of our most wonderful, greatest, hopeful expectations. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, and more than a prophet. Praise be Jesus Christ.